Welcome to New Creation Christian Center. My name is Harold Franklin, and I'm the pastor of New Creation. We meet on Saturday nights at 7 in Seattle, Washington. We hope the Word of God changes and challenges your life and that you are refreshed and renewed by hearing the Word, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we thank you for joining us. And now we'll get into this week's message.
We are speaking on the kingdom, part two of the series that I'm in. I'm going to wrap it up. I don't do seven game series like my dad does. But we're going to get something out of this, man. And just before we were talking about what the kingdom of God was last time, some of the things that we went over were the kingdom. First of all, is you have to, just like building a house, us as believers, you don't build a house blindfolded, right? You don't just say, hey, maybe this boat should go here. You got to have what they call blueprints. And there is blueprints in the kingdom of God. You have to, and sometimes we go towards knowing God and just say, hey, man, we can wing it once we get saved, right? But God definitely wants us to be understanding of what he has. Amen. The Bible also talks about studying to show yourself what? Approved. So that you can be a good worksman. So that you can do what God wants us to do. And if we don't study and if we don't know what the kingdom of God is, obviously we're not doing a good job. So we talked about that. We talked about the kingdom is bigger than just a fellowship group, which this is what we call a fellowship group. It's bigger than one individual church body. It is a cohesive of all the church bodies. We have to remember that. Sometimes we get churches that are upset about not having as many people as somebody else, but they have to understand that they're doing their part in the kingdom. And you should be excited when somebody else is winning lives to the kingdom. Amen? Amen. Also, we talked about what the kingdom of God is. And I'm going to keep on from there. We're going to go to my first scripture, and we're going to go to it, John 18, verse 36, and then as we're turning there, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, dear God, for this day. Dear God, we thank you, dear God, that you are always on the move, oh God, that you are always in control, dear God, and we just want to be in alignment with your kingdom, God. We want people to see you when they look at us. In the mighty name of Jesus, dear God, and help us, dear God, be the chosen people that you've called us to be, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. What did you say? You said amen, Monica? Oh, okay, amen. John 18, verse 36 through 38. And I had some notes. You able to get that? Let's see, John 18, verse 36 through 38. And it says, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. Somebody say, not of this world. Not of this world. So right now, Jesus explains the kingdom. It's not a kingdom in this world, right? Now I'm going to say it is going to be a kingdom where all will see it. But right now he came. And the reason why a lot of Jews missed him as the king of the Jews is because he didn't establish his kingdom like David did, or Solomon and some of the other kings that kind of messed it up after a while. But he didn't establish it like they saw. He wasn't a warrior king. But let's see what it says. It says, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. So somebody say fight. So that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here. Let me keep on going. It said, Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. So basically he says, that's right. And then it says, for this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said, I find no fault in him at all. Now, what I'm going to say is Jesus explains his kingdom Because when we look at kingdoms in the world, what are some great kingdoms that we can think of right now? Come on, somebody name a few kingdoms. Obviously, England or Britain, they had kingdoms, and they had crusaders. A lot of these kingdoms had to conquer land. They had to conquer people to become a strong kingdom. You can even look at some of the things like empires. Those are examples of kingdoms. It might have ran just a tiny bit different. But in kingdoms, people had to fight to get authority. Jesus said he doesn't have to fight to get authority. Now, that can show us a couple of different things. Obviously, we do have to fight in the spirit because that's where the kingdom is. But we do not have to fight in the natural. And as Christians, that's something that we have to learn, because I know I'm not the only one that get upset when things happen in life, right? You know what I'm saying? You just want to fight. You want to hurl and you want to do. But that's not how Jesus did things. I mean, he said on several occasions, don't you think that I could call down some angels and they could demolish this whole mess of people? He said, but that's not how I do it. I've come to serve. And he said he came to bear witness to the truth. That is our job in the kingdom of God, to bear witness to the truth. Say, my job is to bear witness to the truth. Now, what is the truth? Well, Jesus said, I'm here to bear witness to the truth. So what is the truth? Obviously, Jesus is God, so you can say that. Hey, I'll just say this. If you're in church, you don't know the answer, just say Jesus. You might get it right, right? But the truth is, his Father is the truth. Serving him is truth. Submitting his life, because look, Jesus was a prototype, and I always use that word because I like that word right now. That's one of my, you know, million-dollar words, I guess. But he was a prototype, which means an example of what we were supposed to do. Jesus submitted himself unto who? God the Father. His whole life was to say, I'm going to give up everything that I desire. This is why Jesus came to the earth, to give up everything that he desired to please his Father. That his Father is the truth. And obviously, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, because he is connected with the Father. But in his fleshly body, his whole purpose was to yield to his flesh and serve God. So now we can see that and say, what is our job? Our whole job is to bear witness to the truth, to explain to people who God is, to show them who God is. I had it was an interesting week this week. I had several different people that I was able to minister to. And, man, they were actually total strangers. And I was walking with the kids one day. We walked to the park, and then we walked to Safeway. And while we walked to Safeway, this lady, she was walking towards me, man, and she was just crying. And I was like, man, there's something wrong with that lady. You know, I didn't say that out loud, but something's not right. So then, you know, I asked the lady, do you want prayer? And she didn't say not one word the whole time I talked to her. She was just like, oh, I mean, you know, I don't know what she's saying. So she's like, no. I was like, you okay? You know, she's no. And I was like, do you want me to pray for you? She was like, no. And I was like, well, I'm going to pray anyway. This is what I told her. I'm going to pray for you anyway because there's something wrong. So I prayed for the lady. And after I got done praying, she was like, she didn't say anything still. But she was so excited that I prayed for her. She came and gave me a hug, and she was like, you know, didn't say nothing. So I was like, wow. But I know that impacted that lady. I don't know what the lady was dealing with. I mean, this is why it's important that we, number one, are moved with compassion, as Jesus was, to pray with people. We never know what they're dealing with. That lady could have been saying, I'm about to go kill myself. It could have been crazy. But I thank God I was able to do that. I was able to bear witness to the truth. Amen. It didn't matter what she was dealing with. I know that my God is a fixer. So we're going to put some of that, like Bob the Builder is. Can he fix it? Yes, he can. They got that from church, I think, right? Hallelujah. But God can fix it. And I'm going to just say this. That's how we can bear witness to the truth. If our God is a fixer, which we believe, We have to try this fixed thing. I pray for people that I've never met before, and I've seen God heal. I've seen him deliver. We've seen people sober up. So I know that God is real. And that's what I'm doing out here. That's why I don't come in at 6:30. I'm out there praying for people, expecting God to do something in these people's lives. And I give them my number, and I say, as soon as God does something, give me a call. Because I'm expecting him to do something. Amen. We have to bear witness to this truth. And it's not us. I tell them this is not no magic potion. Somebody say it's not magic. But God is in the building. Let's go to, in that same chapter, I'm going to show you what's kind of going on in the world today. Israel rejected the king, okay? Let's look at that. It's in the same chapter, just verse 33. I probably should have read it together, but I hope that's the right scripture. You got it? Verse 33. It said, then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you concerning this? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? All right, now Jesus, this is what I read earlier. He begins to tell him that he is a king. His kingdom is not of this world. So what happens that we see there, and it's very brief, but the Jews delivered him to Pilate because they're saying he is not the king, right? He's not our king. Why? Because they didn't understand what kind of kingdom he came to bring. So what happens is Israel at that time, or the Jewish nation, begin to reject the king. We are in a world today that many are rejecting the king. Does that mean that he's not a king? Right? It doesn't. Just because, let's just look at it like this. Just because you don't vote for a specific president, and when they become president, does that make them not president because you didn't vote for them? God's kingdom is not of this world. That doesn't mean we're aliens. That don't mean we got to go to Mars. That don't mean we got to say, man, God is up there. Because, you know, some people would take that out of context and run with it and say, hey, that's why they're going to have the moon. I mean, pretty soon we can be able to go travel to the moon and back. It'll be like Hawaii vacation, you know. But some people are going to be like, man, if you want God, you have to go to the moon. But God did not say he's out in outer space. He says his kingdom is not of this world. So in a time where people are rejecting the king, as Christians, we need to know how we can advance the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom has to advance. It's not gonna do it by its, well, I ain't gonna say it. The kingdom of God can move any way it wants to, but the way God likes to do it is through people. Amen? That's why we look through Israel. We look through the Old Testament. He always had somebody that was a spokesman for the people. He had somebody going and sharing the good news. He had somebody delivering people out of Egypt. Don't you think God could have just did all the 10 plagues and told Pharaoh to let him go himself? He could have did that. But God, even now, he wants people to advance his kingdom. Amen? And I'm going to say this. Being in the kingdom of God, it allows us to have authority over what we deal with in life. Now, I'm going to say this. That does not mean that everything in life is going to be perfect. That does not mean that you're never going to go through hard times. What it does mean is that God is with you through those hard times, through those tough times, so that you can overcome what comes at you. The Lord said himself in the word of God that he will never put more on us than what? We can bear. Only in the kingdom do you get that promise. Outside of the kingdom, you're going to have things you can't bear. That's why there's people that are today, I mean, suicide is continuing to rise. Drug addictions are continuing to rise. Why? Because people are facing things that they cannot bear. I'm in a condominium right now that many people are just leaving their places because of a threat that they've been saying for how many years now? 2 years, that they're going to raise our homeowner dues, double them. And, you know, some people are just like, man, I'm just going to let my house foreclose. Why? Because they can't bear it. And I'm like, man, nothing has happened yet. What are you guys doing? Nothing has happened. And when it starts to happen, you got a year and a half to figure something out. But I'm like, I'm not going to, my dad always says this, man, when you got a deadline like a year and a half, don't worry about it. In a year and a half, Jesus might come back. Yeah. In a year and a half, you might have that business working the way it was supposed to be working in the first place. So we have authority in life. Say, I have authority in the kingdom of God. And this is something that I believe that the church has to get back to doing, because people in the world don't want flabby Christianity. I was chopping it up. I was talking to a brother that another guy, this is the second time I was able to witness to somebody. In my office, we have various businesses right around us. So I walked, and this guy had his door open. I was like, hey, what kind of business you got? And he's like, oh, okay, I do this. And then I was like, okay, you go to church, you into God? And he was like, not really. And, you know, I could have walked away then, but I was like, this is an opportunity. So I started talking to him and just asked him, you know, what was there a problem with your church experience? You know, what? And he just basically went on, and we talked for about 40 minutes, but he didn't believe the Bible. He believed it was a great book. He loved the stories in the Bible, but he said it was just stories. And he didn't believe in God. He believed in, what do people always say if they don't believe in God? I believe in a, there we go. So people believe in a higher power, but they don't believe in God. Why? Because too many people in the church have had flabby Christianity, right? Hey, I'm a Christian. What does that mean? I don't know. I just go to church. I pay tithes. And then, you know, when you tell people in the world, you pay tithes, they're like, man, that church is robbing you. They're taking. So, you know, they think church is just a great way to make money and a whole bunch of different things. That's because we have not explained to them what the kingdom of God is. I'm going to say this, too. The kingdom of God is not just about making it to heaven. How many of us know that? Because heaven is not our final destination. When we look at the word of God, it says he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, a new Jerusalem. And where are we going to be at? We're going to be in a new Jerusalem, right? So I'm not saying that we're not going to be in heaven. We might get a chance to, you know what I'm saying, scope the city out and everything like that, you know, be there for a while. But God says his plan is to build a new earth. So in the kingdom, we can't just, because every religion has a heaven, right? They have some form of heaven. Well, you know, they might not call it heaven. It might be different things in their heaven. But we have to understand that's not the only goal of a Christian. Our job is not to just get saved and say, hey, I'm going to heaven and, man, God is good. And then through the rest of our life, we're struggling to understand how we are supposed to utilize what God has given us. It's like this. We are in a war. Somebody say, I'm in a war. God has given us a weapon. God has given us many weapons, but until we begin to use them in the correct way, we will not be able to win the war. Right? So we have to know what God has given us. There's a chapter in Isaiah verse 61. This whole chapter is very powerful. Even in the Old Testament, God gave us a glimpse of what the kingdom of God was supposed to do. And that's because his mission really hasn't changed too much. Because God doesn't change. Amen. Isaiah 61. And I'm going to read this whole chapter. It said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to those who are bound. Now, let's just stop right there. He gave us four things to do. If you got a Bible, highlight it, all right? Because this is what the people in the kingdom of God is supposed to do. When we had the Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God was upon people in the Old Testament, that's what we now have. The Spirit of God is not only resting upon one person in this age, right? How many of us know we don't have to, let me be careful about this. We don't have to go to the pastor to hear from God, okay? How many of us know that? When we have a real relationship with God, we don't always have to go to the pastor to hear from God. Matter of fact, if you always call on the pastor, I guarantee the pastor's going to be like, man, go pray. Go pray. And I tell people that sometimes, not because I don't want to speak to them, but sometimes my number might get cut off. We never know, right? And if my number's cut off, does that mean that they don't hear from God? In some cases, that may be. But that's because people in the body of Christ have not understood that they have the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that spoke through Elijah, the same Spirit that led Joshua, we have that Spirit in us today. Amen? So a couple of things he has said is he wants us to preach the good news to the poor. Does this mean just people that don't have money? Okay, because sometimes we as Christians, we only go to the people that are like, man, your life is messed up. Oh, can we pray for you? Like, man, sometimes go to the people that look like life is fine. There was a guy that, and I just said it the day before in church service, and we came here as my dad preached in Emerald City Bible Fellowship. And he was like, man, there was a guy that I just loved his car, man. He had the best car, and he was like, man. He went up to him and was like, man, your life must be perfect. And the guy was like, no, it's not, man. I need prayer right now. You know what I'm saying? And when he said that, it was like, wow. Just because people look like they have everything, do you know that you can be a millionaire and still be poor in your spirit? So we have to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Somebody say, heal the brokenhearted. There's a lot of people that are brokenhearted, and they go to just a whole bunch of different things to try to figure out how to feel that brokenness. But we are the only ones that have the kingdom of God to feel what they are brokenhearted with. Amen? Also, to proclaim liberty to the captives. There's plenty of people that are captive today that need deliverance. And this is our job as a kingdom. If we want the kingdom of God to advance, we cannot look at people that are captivated and just say, hopefully they get the kingdom. Well, let me just pray. Sometimes we have to go out there and get them. Amen. I've been praying as I walk down the street. I just see captivity amongst so many different people, man. There's a smoke shop right across the street, which I'm thinking about doing something really unique. Hopefully the smoke shop don't stop me, but they can't really stop me. Anyway, every 5 minutes, a new car pulling up. Why? Because they're addicted to something. They're going in there to get drinks. They're going up there to get cigarettes, anything that looks like cigarettes these days. They're going in there to get it. Amen? And they're captive to that addiction. I see some of the people driving, and they just they just like, oh, look at me. And I'm like, man, they're captivated with this car that they have, which is not working that well. It's like tinkling on the way, you know what I'm saying? But they're captivated with, look at me. These are people that we have to proclaim liberty to, amen? And it also says, opening a prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of our Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Verse 3 says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Man, people have this stuff still, right? That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall rise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of daughters and the sons of foreigners, I'm sorry, shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. I'm gonna go back, but it said also they will rebuild the cities that are in ruin. Right now, Seattle is seeing a high amount of violence. Wichita is seeing a high amount of violence. I talked to a brother the other day that was like, I just had to get out of there, man, because my brother's locked up, my other brother's locked up, and I didn't want to be the next one. And I was like, that's a good idea, brother. That's what I told him. But the church has to do something. We're not doing a great job at advancing the kingdom because we're supposed to be repairing our ruined cities. We have to do something. We got to let these people know that this is not rituals that we practice. Amen. It says, verse 6, but you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in the glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in the land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. So I say, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offerings. I will direct their work in truth and will make them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. Let me say this real quick. We see a lot of people, and it's funny how it seems like the church are the last ones to be mentioned when you say somebody that's blessed, right? Is that right? Because why? We've even in the church, we've equated blessed to what? Material. Money. What'd you say? Okay. Money, possessions. We've equated blessed to just that. And, you know, the kings of Israel had that stuff. That doesn't mean that that was why they were blessed. But how many know that we have to even begin to change the mindset of what it means to be blessed? You know what that means? That means we have to, in our own minds, understand, despite if I don't have this amount in my bank account, I am still blessed. Because how many see people in the church being like, oh, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it. God, man, can you please bless me, God? God is like, man, I done blessed you already. What you want? I bless you with eternal life. I bless you with the powers of the kingdom of God. And you worried about $20, right? How many of us have been there? I've been there worried about $20. I'm just saying. But we have to remember that we are blessed. It says, I will never see the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. Like, even if I didn't have money in my account, we still were able to eat something. Because I know God has blessed us. I always say this, man. I was at a club ministering outside a club, and I was talking to a brother, man, and I was like, yeah, I'm not rich or nothing. And he stopped me. He was like, man, you got a family? And I was like, yeah, you got kids? He said, yeah, you are rich. And you know, this is out of the babes the Lord speaks. Sometimes he might use a donkey, but he spoke, and I was like, wow. Yeah, you're right. So from now on, I'm rich. I'm not talking money when I say I'm rich. I'm rich in the kingdom. Because that's what some people want in life. All they want is a family that loves them. So we have to rethink what we're supposed to be thinking. Verse 10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in the Lord, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. Somebody say salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its buds, as the garden causes the things that are sown in the spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Somebody say before all the nations. Before all We have a lot to do so that righteousness is what people are looking to, like, man, I want that. I want what they have in the kingdom of God. That's where we have to get to so people will begin to see the kingdom in advance. People don't want to go to a man-made, as they always say, that's man-made. What the guy told me was like, somebody sold you onto that. And I was like, you know, he was asked, something happened, had to happen for you to believe it. I said, yeah. I seen my life change, and I wasn't bad. I probably was better than my dad. But anyways, but that doesn't mean that God didn't save me. God saved me from myself. I always say that. He saved me from myself, and since he saved me from myself, he saved you. Because if I was all about myself, I would do anything to get what I want to get. That's how God saves some people. But the power of the kingdom is what we have to remember we have. Somebody say, we have power. We have power. I talked about I preached on power. I preached a series on power. I got a few series under me now, so I can say, you can go check that out at newcreationwa.org. But we got power, and we have to access that power. When you pray, it should be with power. My wife prayed for somebody that was here, who was at a concert, and he's from Kansas City, man, and he's a good friend of ours. But when she prayed for him, after she got done, he was like, man, I haven't heard no prayer like that since I left Kansas City. And I was like, wow. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, babe, did you hear what he just said? Because my wife understands that there's power in her prayer. Hey, anytime somebody needs prayer, I'm going to pray for them. I believe I got power in my prayer as well. But if my wife's there, and it's a lady especially, I'm like, babe, pray for him real quick, or pray for them real quick. And she, you know, she's a sweet person, but when she start praying, she, in the name of Jesus, she's like a giant in prayer, amen? That's why I married her. She was a great prayer. I was like, good Lord, I need that in my life. Hallelujah. I ain't lying. We also have authority over the kingdom. Somebody say kingdom of darkness. How many of us know that there's a real kingdom? There's a real devil that is out to steal, kill, destroy, demolish your life. See, we are in the kingdom of God. And I'm going to say this. Music is really trapping a lot of the people, even the youth in the church. I mean, there's so many churches are cool with playing secular music, but they got to understand there is a kingdom that is trying to destroy people. There's a kingdom that is trying to destroy people, and he's going to get to them any way he can. There used to be a time where music was just, oh, that was a great song. Even if it wasn't a Christian song, it was a good song. But now, walk in the mall for 5 minutes. Walk in the store and hear what they're saying. Listen to what they're saying. And people will be like, that's my favorite rapper. What did he say? He called me a B. Oh, okay. You're happy about that. Why? Because the enemy used something that they like, which is usually the music, and they let the people say whatever they want to say. And the kingdom, and how many of us know that the devil was in music in heaven? He was in charge of music. Does this mean that he created music? No. God created it, but the devil, he didn't create it, he distorted it. He contorted it so it's, oh, worship yourself. Be all about you. And God is saying we have to fight the kingdom of darkness. Now, obviously, just like Jesus said, we don't fight. I don't go see a secular artist and be like, it's heads up on sight. Let's fight right now. That don't work. How do we fight? How do we fight? In the spiritual realm. So how do we fight? We fight in prayer. We fight in declaring the word. We also fight just like Gideon by getting rid of these things, right? Now, Gideon, he did it at night, you know, so nobody could see him. I mean, everybody knows the story where he went and tore down that idol. He was like, man, I'm going to wait till midnight while everybody sleep, and I'm going to go tear it down. So he went in and was like, okay, I'm going to tear it. But what he did demolished that kingdom. Jesus. But what he did demolished that kingdom. It made people say, hey, what in the world just happened? And Gideon's father, who was really smart, because they knew it was Gideon and they was going to go get Gideon. And Gideon said, his father said, well, if your God is really powerful, won't you let him take care of it? Right? Won't you let him take care of that whole situation? If your God is a God, then let him take care of it. So what happened? Nothing happened. Somebody say, nothing happened. Why? Because Gideon had the power of the kingdom of God. Even in his timidness in doing it when he hid, still he did what God told him to do. And some of us might be fearful of sharing the gospel. Some of us might not know exactly how we can go about doing it. We might not know the exact words to say. But how many of us know that if we just begin to do it, we're going to see God start to do some things? It's not your power. Right? Because we are just filthy rags. We're not even righteous on our own. You can't be good enough to attain righteousness. If you're obedient to God, that's how you get righteousness. But you still have to be submitted to what God is doing. How many of us know that in this battle, it is not a tug of war for God? Right? My dad talked about this in the series that he was preaching. I believe it was just pretty much the basics of Christianity. And he was saying, God is not up in heaven with a rope, and the devil's not down in hell with a rope, and they just, devil, I'm going to get you. How many know God is just chilling, right? Hawaii, you know what I'm saying, with a straw in his mouth, and, you know, that's how God is when it comes to this fight. I still want to get to Hawaii. I haven't been there yet. But anyway, God is not worried about the devil. Somebody say, God's not worried. Why? Because God is in total control. And then he said, you people down there on earth, you take control. You take authority. I remember growing up, especially when I was a kid, I used to always have nightmares that the devil was trying to attack me. And that was the scariest thing. I remember even waking up, I felt my body being pinched. I wake up and I'm looking and there ain't nobody, but I knew what it was. And it was the devil trying to cause fear. Then I remember one time in the dream, I was by grandma's house because grandma, she always used to be like, there's witches in this neighborhood. So that's Grandma Esther. So I had a dream. I was in her neighborhood and I was walking. And I've always had dreams about her neighborhood. And, you know, people would walk by and then they just jump at me, you know, and I knew it was a demonic spirit. And I was like, you know, at first I was scared, but one time in my dream, and this is the last time that I was scared about it, I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. I command you to leave that person. And it began, after that, I was no longer scared of those dreams. Why? Because in my life, I realized, man, I have authority over this stuff. Just because a demon jump out at us don't mean that we have to be like, oh, because what does a demon do? He only does what you allow him to do. The kingdom of darkness can only function when we back up. When we say, I don't know what to do, I'm scared. When you start saying, I'm scared, that's when a demon can say, okay, he's scared. Okay, well, let me show him what's scared. Let me tell him why he's scared. But we have to understand that God is not fazed by the enemy. That doesn't mean that we're not fazed. That doesn't mean that we don't have to deal with the enemy, because we're not powerful, more powerful than the devil. How many of us know that? Outside of God, the devil would whoop your butt. I think I talked about that in my power message when some cast was like, oh, Paul, he's just going on. And okay, well, let me be like Paul. In the name of Jesus, come out. And the demon said, Peter I know, Paul I know, but fool, who are you? Right? And like, and he tore them up. Why? Because they thought they could operate in the kingdom of God without God. And it wasn't a pretty sight. Matter of fact, they were running without their clothes after, so it wasn't a pretty sight. Amen. Another thing is, if we are in the kingdom of God, we must be in kingdom alignment. Somebody say alignment. Now, my brother, he does cars. My brother Michael, he's a plug. If you need any car stuff, talk to him. He can hook you up. But how many, Michael, you know when you're doing a car, you have to align tires. Why do you have to align tires? So you drive straight. Somebody say drive straight. So let me actually give somebody who's a ASE certified auto service advisor. Michael, you might be one of those too, right? Okay. He said a wheel alignment consists of adjustments. Somebody say adjustments. Made to the suspension and steering components of your vehicle to ensure the tires have the correct, orientation towards the road. Once again, a wheel alignment consists of adjustments made to the suspension and steering components on your vehicle to ensure the tires have a correct orientation towards the road. In the kingdom of God, there is things that we have to get aligned right. It says adjustments. How many of us know once we get saved, there has to be adjustments? Some people just get saved and think, oh, well, cool, I can still do what I do. No, in the kingdom of God, you have to be adjusted in your steering, whatever your steering is, which usually is your mind, in your suspension, which could be your body. Your mind and body have to be transformed and adjusted so that they are in correct place where what God wants us to be at. How many of us know that? It's very important that we understand that we have to be aligned to be in the kingdom of God. I'm going to go to this scripture, and this is probably going to be the last one today, and I might have a part three. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'm going to talk about kingdom conduct, because there's a way that we're supposed to act. I talked about what we're supposed to do, but there's still ways that we're supposed to act in the kingdom. And when you got to say word. Dang, you guys are fast. Let me get it. 1 Thessalonians 2. All right, and it says, for you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after we had to suffer, before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. I'm going to say this. Even if it's going to produce conflict, we still have to be bold in our God. That don't mean that you got to argue with people, though, right? That don't mean you got to, choke people up and say, you're going to get this gospel if you don't like it. No, we don't fight like that. And unfortunately, in the history of the church, we've done things like that. We force people to get saved. You get saved and we're going to burn you at the stake in the name of Jesus. That's not the kingdom of God. How many of us know the kingdom of God should not be begging for people to get saved? We shouldn't do that. We shouldn't be like, man, dude, listen. Hey, I got something for you. What you got? Oh, man, you got to get this, man. What do you got? Well, it's really great. I mean, we kind of like don't even know what we got. Right? We're trying to save people and we don't even know what we got, so they don't want it. It's like, and I had this opportunity. I led a young woman to the Lord not too long ago at a concert. And I was like, man, have you gave your life to the Lord? She was like, no. And I was like, do you want to? She was like, not really. But I, something in the spirit told me, okay. I'm not going to beg this lady, but I was like, if I was going to give you $1 million, would you say, not really? She was like, no. I said, if I was going to give you eternal life, would you say not really? She was like, no. I said, that's what I'm trying to give you. I'm trying to give you. So do you want Jesus? And she said, yes. And she was led to the Lord. And then my wife went in there and gave her the knockout prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Almost laid her on the floor. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 3 says, for our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanliness, nor was it in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, you all have been approved by God and entrusted with the gospel. Even so, we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, somebody say flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness, God is our witness. Nor did we seek glory from men. Somebody say, seek glory. Either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you. Somebody say, gentle. Just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children, so affectionately longing for you, we were pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also of our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and our toil for laboring night and day, that we might not be able to be any burden to any of you. We preach to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses in God also how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we have behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as fathers does his own child, that you will walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Somebody say, we have to walk worthy. There was a lot of different words in there that they shared that they were doing. They were careful. They said they nursed. Now, this don't mean that Paul took some guy and was like, here, get your milk. That's not what he was talking about. Right? But just like a baby is nursed, Christians have to be nursed. They have to be discipled. They have to, because how many of us know, it's, when we first get saved, you don't know the entire Bible, right? And they might have a question like, what does it mean to be meek? Does that mean weak? How many of us have heard that before? Does meek mean weak? Sometimes you have to go through the stuff that they don't know. And obviously, as we nurse them, as we nurse our baby, our baby's just like Precious is having another one. Hallelujah. When she nurses that baby should not be the same size. Right? Even after 3 days of nursing, the baby grows. Why? Because it's getting nutrients. It's getting the things it needs, just like a Christian should be getting. Christians, especially baby Christians, should not be babies for more than a year, right? But some people would be like, oh, well, it's been a year. You've been saved. What have you learned? Oh, man, God is good. That's not good enough. Because God is good is not always going to get you through everything. Your prayer should not be, God is good, God is great, let me thank you for his food, amen. That should not be the only prayer that you know. You have kids pray those prayers. But I guarantee if a grown man sits at a table and says that prayer, you're like, man, that's interesting. Right? Why? Because that's not what they're supposed to be on. Also, they said they were not a burden. We as pastors, and I'm wrapping up. I see you, Mom. She's giving me the eye like it's 8:30. We have to not be a burden to people in the body of Christ. Even as pastors, and this is not always financial, but sometimes financially pastors burden their church. A pastor would be like, I ain't even going to say that. But anyway, there's different things that pastors do. You know, like a whole bunch of different things. But we cannot be a burden. We cannot be a burden financially. We cannot be a burden physically, spiritually. We have to say, man, because some pastors, they can preach the word, but then they don't want to talk to you. You're a burden. We have to be able to be willing to walk accordingly in the kingdom so that we can do what God has called us to do. Amen. So that's kingdom conduct. In advancing the kingdom, these are some of the things that we have to do. I will finish this message next time I preach next month. And expect God to use you this week. Expect some kind of opportunity for you to share the gospel. I thank God that he's been allowing me to just say it, like, do you know God? Do you go to church? I mean, just say that and see what happens in, from there. Let us just open our mouth and see what God is saying. Even if you're shy, it don't matter. Just say something and see what God does. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit will speak to you and through you in those times. So just be a willing vessel. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, dear God, for your word today, dear God. We thank you, dear God, and we expect, dear God, that you will move and impact us, oh God. Allow us to be your kingdom representatives, oh God. Dear God, help us to be in alignment with you, dear God, so that you can be used, or we can use what you've called us to use, oh God. And we pray to God for us, dear God, right now. Dear God, we just continue to pray for the city. We pray to God that lives be impacted and changed, especially in this neighborhood. Dear God, we pray for even Emerald City Bible Fellowship, their church, dear God, that they continue to grow, that people grow, dear God, not just the people coming in, but the people mature in the kingdom. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it will impact you, that you will continue to grow in your life with Christ. Once again, if you would like any more podcasts of our messages at New Creation Christian Center, you can go to www.newcreationwa.org and feel free to download it, share it with your friends and family so people can see how God is changing our lives as we continue to be formed into the new creation that he has called us to be.